Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe to get his thoughts on week one for the Chiefs and also look ahead to week two against the Philadelphia Eagles. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
After hearing that intro, I'm doing fantastic. I will not be coming out flat for the first quarter of our conversation right here because I'm pumped up now. Appreciate that, Rob. That's a nice one right there.
Absolutely. Let's start with this. Are you more frustrated with the offense from Friday or the defense?
Oh, the defense by a mile. I know what happened with the offense. I'm not excusing all of it, but I know what happened. Like, the number one wide receiver is not out there. Your plan for the new number one wide receiver, that goes into the trash three plays into the game. And then it took a little bit to kind of get some things figured out. Mahomes did Mahomes stuff. I'm nervous for the offense going forward, depending on how long Worthy ends up being out. But I understand what happened there. The defense came out flat, and they were in plan A. I mean, they were running the defense that they wanted to run out of training camp by and large, and got pretty well dunked on by that Chargers offense. So no, I'm more worried about the defense, specifically the pass rush and the safety group. I think definitely more frustrated with that side of the ball.
What I'll say about the offenses that has stood out to me is in the last couple of Chiefs losses, either they just don't feel like they can run the ball or they has just been absolutely no commitment in trying to run the football. They gave Isaiah Pacheco 5 carries on Friday. I just don't know how you expect to establish the run, how you expect to establish the line of scrimmage if you give your number one running back so few carries.
Yeah, and I understand bailing on the running game when it's not been working for a little while, but to your point, Pacheco got 5 carries, Kareem Hunt got 5 carries, that was it. Those were all of the running back handoffs in this game, and Pacheco was running about 5 yards a pop. He didn't have one 20-yarder and 4 1.5-yard carries. I mean, like, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. And so much of the offensive line at this point should be plus run blockers. Really, the left side, from Josh Simmons to Trey Smith, I mean, those are 4 very, very good physical run blocking offensive linemen that you should kind of be able to build behind. So I would have absolutely gotten hammered on over under 10.5 carries for the Chiefs running backs in that game. I thought we would see both teams try to run the ball more and do it better than they did on Friday.
When it comes to the defense, I guess what stood out to me the most is this is the defense that's largely the same from last year. This is a defense that's healthy and pretty experienced. They couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. They also didn't really cover very well on the backside of the defense either.
Yeah, let's start with the front four just because I think people have forgotten this. We were having this conversation last year. I mean, like, up through at least the midway point, it was, oh man, well, you know, the secondary without L'Jarius Sneed and these things, these moving parts that have made things tougher for this defense. And then you go back and look and go, well, no, wait a second. The real problem here is that no one's able to get pressure with a 4-man rush here. No one other than Chris Jones is winning one-on-ones consistently enough. Fast forward a year later and you get what happened in Brazil and you go, man, I mean, look, I know they love George Karlaftis. I know he just got paid a whole bunch of money. You've got to make Trey Pipkins look like a backup and look out of sorts there, and they just never did that. That's true for Dana. It's true for Minihu, who I'm a big fan of. Like, it was a failing unit that way on Friday night, and then obviously Chris Jones ends up being the guy under the spotlight for making a mistake on the last play of the game that really mattered. So I have to start with that group. Obviously, Justin Reed's different at safety. I have thought, you know, I wonder what it looks like with Justin Reed out there instead of handing so much responsibility to Jaden Hicks, who was just out of sorts in that game. I will also say, at least in the secondary, I do think Jaden Hicks is going to look like a playable, much better safety by the end of the year. He was that last season. I just think he's got more responsibilities now. I think that the cornerback rotation will be better, and you'll have the Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Merritt effect as that unit gets going. I really do think the secondary is going to look very, very different in week 12 than it did in week 1. I don't know what the move is on the front four, because now suddenly you're either asking for a ton from Omar Norman-Lott and Ashton Gelati, or you need George Karloftis to find another gear. And really, again, I'm not just picking on him. He's just the guy that they gave all the money to, who they've kind of built up this idea that, like, he's going to be the leader of the D-line even after Chris Jones is gone. And right now they need something else from somebody not named Chris Jones in those one-on-one pass rush matchups.
Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network, getting his thoughts on week one. Then we'll look forward to week two against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is kind of a hybrid question, I guess, for week one and week two. No Rashee Rice for this one. Obviously, he's suspended. It doesn't look like Xavier Worthy is going to play in this game either. I think he'll play next week for Sunday Night Football. I don't think he's playing on Sunday against the Eagles. Who do you look to? Who are you expecting to step up in the absence of those two players to try to give you some explosiveness in the Chiefs offense?
I could, like, honestly give you every name in the wide receiver room and have, like, some role that I think those guys could take on. But I think when you talk about the explosion, if Xavier Worthy isn't out there against the Eagles, I can't believe he was practicing today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the hesitance in our voice, right? Just an incredibly tough player, it seems. But assuming that he doesn't play against the Eagles, I think Tyquan Thornton is a legitimate thing. Not that he's going to do all of the things that Xavier Worthy was doing. Not that at all. But specifically, keeping the defense honest on the deep ball, he had the one completion against the Chargers. He was open downfield several times. Like, one was kind of a Mahomes miss, and maybe another one he was getting hammered as he threw the ball. One time he went to Hollywood when Thornton was opening up downfield. Not even necessarily miscues, just times when he was wide open that they'll see on film this week. They've already seen on film this week and say, okay, well, if the Eagles give us single high safety looks, Tyquan Thornton is a legitimate weapon in terms of that explosiveness. I think the biggest volume share is probably going to go to Hollywood Brown. And if you would have asked me at halftime how I felt about that, I would have been nervous. With the entire game in hindsight, I feel okay about that. You know, we heard all throughout camp how much the Chiefs love their wide receiver room. 1 through 6 or 1 through 7. And I think there was legitimacy to that. But then you remove 1 and 2, and now all of a sudden you're talking about 3 through 6, 3 through 7. And it really does thin out very, very quickly. But I think Hollywood will get a little more in that intermediate range where once he got up to speed a little bit, kind of got used to game speed and back on the same page with Mahomes against the Chargers, I think he'll be a worthwhile weapon. But Tyquan Thornton is kind of my more fun answer, perhaps, on keeping some explosion in this offense, because they don't have the horses right now to try to just run last year's offense of just Kareem Hunt for 3.5 yards a carry over and over and over again. I think you need to keep defenses wondering if they're going to be attacked at all three levels.
If you could add Saquon Barkley to the Chiefs roster or Jalen Carter to the roster, which one would you pick?
I'd pick Jalen Carter. I mean, assuming, you know, we get him like a visor for his face mask or something. I think that what he does for a defense next to Chris Jones, I think it would look night and day. And I kind of like Jerry Tillery. I'm optimistic about Omar Norman-Lott. But I'm taking Carter there pretty cleanly. I don't know what, this isn't an idea that he wouldn't work here, but I don't know what Saquon would look like in this offense. They would figure it out, to be clear. It would be an improvement. It would be good. But I'll take Jalen Carter.
Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe, getting his thoughts ahead of week two of the season for the Chiefs and the Eagles. Are you more confident in Philadelphia's offensive line or Philadelphia's defensive line? I just think back to the Super Bowl, and I mean, they dominated Kansas City on both sides of the ball, and that's why the game was the runaway that it was. They protected Jalen Hurts very well and gave him more than enough time to make plays down the field. They lived in the backfield with that pass rush. Where do you think they have the bigger advantage? What unit do you think is better?
I think their offensive line is the side that I would take as the bigger advantage or the better unit altogether. It's an interesting question, an interesting way of evaluating how much talent they've had change hands and what they've lost and what they've gained. You got to keep in mind that Joshua Uche is in the mix now, right? So, I mean, that's a game changer. He had a nice week one. I'm gonna barf. But you look at the offensive line. Those are so many of the same stalwarts they've had there. And to me, that's still the thing that the Chiefs had the biggest issue with in week one. So now they have a much more difficult matchup than they did against, you know, Mekhi Becton with an illness and Trey Pipkins at right tackle. They couldn't win any of those matchups, at least not quickly enough or not obviously enough in week one. I'm more concerned about how the Chiefs match up with the Eagles O-line. The other side for me is that I think it's a better offensive line altogether than the one that the Eagles went up against in the Super Bowl. Obviously losing Joe Tooney and adding Kingsley Suamataia. Kingsley's unproven and Joe Tooney's a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't playing guard in the Super Bowl. It's going to be a test for Josh Simmons, but one that I'm like kind of excited to see him take, regardless of how it goes. I think you should be worried about the trenches altogether in this game, but I think the Chiefs' defensive line against the Eagles' offensive line is probably the most important matchup of this game that I'm worried about from the Chiefs' perspective.
Let's say Jawan Taylor commits a holding call and a false start on the first drive of the game. What do you think happens?
Probably nothing, but I thought Matt Nagy today was pretty forceful on a topic we've been talking about now for a number of years, and they have Jalen Moore. The thing I'll say that might contradict to my probably nothing instinct is that Jalen Moore was just the right tackle number two all throughout the preseason. They didn't work him in at left guard. They weren't working him in at left tackle. Simmons was the guy at left tackle, and they've just said Kingsley's got to get every rep that we're going to give him with the starters at guard. I do think that the Juwan Taylor knee contingency plan was, you know, Jalen Moore being ready for that spot. I will say, for whatever reason, and I don't know why it was week one this year that did it, but Friday was a pretty brutal kind of hang up for me on Juwan Taylor, where so many of the times the illegal formation things and some of the really close false starts, I got frustrated with how those were discussed, because you do see that around the league being penalized in different places, and you don't have to look beyond the Philadelphia Eagles to see how that can be officiated differently when that's not the guy at the middle of the entire conversation, as it was for Juwan Taylor. But you rack up holds and false starts and also don't have a particularly good game outside of that, and the Chiefs have a backup at right tackle who we've seen play at a decently high level in San Francisco last year. So I would think it would probably take more than that for Juwan Taylor to kind of get the Kingsley yoink off stage that we saw last year. But if it happened, I can't say I'd be completely stunned, and I can't say I'd be upset, because at some point you go, well, I wonder what Jalen Moore would look like out there.
Gronk was on Kay Adams' show and essentially said that other teams now feel like they can punch Kansas City in the mouth. It's the Buster Douglas effect. Mike Tyson was viewed as invincible. He then got knocked out by Buster Douglas, and it changed people's opinions and other fighters' perception of Mike Tyson. Do you agree with that analogy for the Chiefs? And I mean, I think that's going to be the conversation, especially if they start slow, don't play well, and get handled again by the Philadelphia Eagles, that the Chiefs have kind of been viewed as way ahead of everybody else, like they are on a mountain, on a plateau by themselves. I think the conversation is going to shift if the Chiefs lose handedly again to the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think the conversation might shift, but I don't particularly buy it. I think, here's the thing, I think the Chiefs could legitimately, like going through the schedule and looking like how the dominoes could fall, the Chiefs could be 4-5 and win the Super Bowl. They could be 4-5 and finish the season 12-5. And that's not just like hopium. That's actually looking at, like, well, Rashee Rice is back, and then here are the teams after that after a tough start to the season. So I think people will say that. I don't think people will believe that in January. I think you can say, oh, look, the Chiefs have a glass jaw now, and if you're the team hosting them in the wild card round, if they have a more frustrating regular season, that team is going to have every bit of fear of the Chiefs that they have earned through their postseason performances throughout the years. And I don't know Gronk's attention to detail, but like the Patriots did go through this, where they had the mystique of the New England Patriots dynasty, and then they went a decade between Super Bowl rings, and Tom Brady was always touchdown Tom with 2.5 minutes left in the game getting the ball back. Maybe this is like the Jordan LeBron thing too, where it's just like, well, I don't remember seeing Jordan didn't lose in the finals, so I don't have these breathtaking losses where they came up short. Mahomes' biggest problem at this point is that he plays so far into every season that his losses are memorable because they only ever happen in the AFC Championship game or Super Bowl. So I think that's a week one take that will not hold water in January.
This is only the second time in Patrick Mahomes' career when he has been a starter for the Chiefs that the Chiefs have been a home dog against another team. This just, quite frankly, doesn't happen when Mahomes is healthy. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Eagles win if scenario for Sunday.
I can't say it's silly to have the Chiefs be a home dog here. I think the Eagles win if what we saw in week one from both of these teams continues. And Philly wasn't great in week one, especially after the lightning delay and everything. Like their offense got stuffy. But if Jalen Hurts plays like Jalen Hurts does, and I don't mean that he exceeds what he usually is, if he is himself and the Eagles are their selves on offense, you have an offensive line with an advantage and a quarterback who can take the deep shots or do what Justin Herbert did too many times on Friday night. And just do it with his legs and do it at a higher level than Herbert was. So I think the path for the Eagles winning this game is just kind of a continuation of last week. I think the Chiefs win this game if, with or without Xavier Worthy, they know what they're game planning for, and you see an offense that kind of, for me, I think almost oscillates between deep shots, running the football, and then maybe a little bit of that Hollywood and Travis Kelce in the intermediate where the defense has to actually be a little bit stressed out that way. But they have to have a better performance from the front seven altogether, not just because it's an even better running game and an even better offense than they saw in week one, but because what they put on tape in week one wouldn't be enough here, wasn't enough against the Chargers. There has to be hassling of Jalen Hurts. I don't care if that's containing him and then making him try to throw it to covered receivers. You also have to communicate better on defense. Spags talked about that. Nick Bolton talked about that. The communication was bad. Guys were running into each other. It wasn't a smooth operation. Those things have to change for them to beat the Eagles. The crazy thing is that I think there's about a 50-50 chance those things do all change, because I do think this coaching staff and a crew of players who have been here before have it in them. So I don't think that they need a miracle to win this game, but I can't be mad that the Eagles are favored.
That is Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show. He is the pregame and postgame host for the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, getting you ready for week two Chiefs and Eagles. Briscoe, great stuff, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it, fellas. Keep that energy level up.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.